You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning, 706, 92.7 WMDX.
Uh-oh.
With John Peterson, Gordy Young.
What's Jim out there in Germantown talking about? Off the air, what's up?
I don't know, Jim. Jim, explain some more to us. Well, if he can't hear us, how can he respond? Catherine is on the phone here this
Catherine
morning.
Catherine is on the phone?
Yeah.
All right, well.
Yeah. Let's find out what's happening.
Yeah,
what's on her mind?
Maybe there's something going on.
I thought you were going to just say that she's on the phone, but not listen to her.
Oh. Good morning, Catherine. What's up?
Oh, good morning. I missed the first hour, so I just wanted to get the recap. I turned off my alarm at 5:30 this morning because I didn't sleep until then.
Oh, no.
Because I'm still sick. Yeah, it's a bad night.
Well, you missed a great segment on Busted Pencils. Here.
Do you want to hear the recap?
Do we have the music for that?
Let's need our AI music for the...
This is AI interpreting our last half hour.
Okay. Here we go.
A whole hour, actually.
All right. Here it is. The title is A1 Sauce, High Fives, and Harvard Stand. So this recaps our first hour. John and Gordy tackle a whirlwind of topics from quirky national days like High Five and Cheeseball Day to the serious clash between Harvard University and the Trump administration.
Wow.
The episode brings humor with a mix-up over AI and A1 sauce, questioning the state of educational leadership. Meanwhile,
Harvard's bold resistance against government overreach prompts a wider discussion on academic freedom and the institutional integrity. As protests spark across campuses, the show highlights the fight against curricular control and the defense of universities from political influence, blending lighthearted banter with critical societal issues.
See, now, AI didn't mention Dr. Tim Slucker, but that's why we were talking about
that's
those,
why we're talking about
those
it,
topics.
Yes.
But yeah, so that's what
curricular.
You missed.
I question the word curricular. I don't know about that word.
You don't think that's
curriculum?
A word?
I'm sure it is, but I just, it stuck out.
I know it stood out for me, but it's right there, and it's from... AI.
Well, yeah, you
knows.
Think? Do you think AI is inventing new words now?
Oh, maybe.
I know. Well, maybe. Could
is that
be.
One of those hiccups or what do they call hallucinations? Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I got nothing else. I just wanted to say I did hear a little bit of Tim Slucker, and I love him. I think that's just amongst your best stuff all week. I love when Tim Slucker from Busted Pencils comes on.
I love it too.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah,
Money in the Bank.
He opens up, man. You know, he talks about education the way an educator should.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, we hope you feel better soon.
Yeah, check and see if drive over to Germantown, see why we're off the air there, okay, if you can.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, hydrate. Get those electrolytes going. Okay. All right. A little bit later on, we're going to be talking with Kara Ogburn from the Milwaukee Film Festival. She's the artistic director, and we'll have another pair of tickets to give away to one of the films that's showing during the Film Fest. And also we'll check in with Judy Davidoff from the Isthmus about the latest issue with that terrific cover photo.
Yeah.
Also, I want to find out the
Look
story
at the
behind
tongue
that.
On that. Quote from John Peterson.
and
okay,
you know, we're going to ask her about the protest at noon on the Library Mall.
Right.
To try to get the UW to participate in this very important nationwide movement to join all the colleges together. And fight the Trump attempts to stifle universities.
Yes.
It's called the Big Ten Mutual Defense Compact. So that's what they want the UW to join. And they haven't really said anything yet. You know, they acquiesced pretty quick with the Republican legislature by getting rid of DEI, just like that, blink of an eye. That didn't settle well with anybody, actually. Why don't we get to another comment from the Harvard professor that we heard from last hour.
Okay.
It is Professor Andrew Crespo, and this we didn't get to yet. It's cut 162. Talking about what's happening with the administration and Harvard.
Okay.
Professor, what's your reaction to all of this, including the latest Truth Social post by the president?
I think the president's post makes clear what this is all really about. Donald Trump wants to control what is taught in America's universities. He wants to try to use all of the tools of the federal government to break the backs of these institutions unless they parrot his own preferred ideology. This is a page straight out of authoritarian playbooks. If you look across history and across the globe, when people come into power who wants to try to maintain and control power in a way that's contrary to the basic norms of a constitutional democracy, they attack some of the core institutions of civil society. They attack the press, they attack the courts, they attack the legal profession, and they attack universities. And that's what's happening here, and the president isn't even pretending about it. His Truth Social message makes clear that he wants to change what he views as the ideology of what's being taught at American universities and make it more to his liking. He wants them to be following the Trump syllabus instead of the syllabi that have been created by these universities over the past century that have made them the shining example of what higher education should look like in the world. He's going to break the back of American universities if he persists this way, but I'm proud to see that universities like Harvard are standing tall and saying this is a red line. You cannot have the federal government trying to tell people what to teach inside of our universities. It violates the First Amendment. It violates the laws of our country, and it is flat out dangerous authoritarian moves.
Yeah, I guess he sums it up right there, huh?
so
again, if you want to protest, go down to the Library Mall here on campus and ask the UW to join the Big Ten Mutual Defense Compact. It's very important to
do
that.
And that's today. Right?
That is today, yes. Make it on down there at noon. All right?
Okay.
I also have a cut here. This is really fantastic. This is Marquette Warriors coach Steve Carr. And he wore a Harvard basketball shirt and during the game. And the Warriors won, by the way. But this was at the press conference. This is cut 180. And let's listen to what he had to say. This is great stuff.
Tommy Amaker is a friend of mine, Harvard coach. And he sent me the shirt. Actually, we practiced there in Boston in November. And he gave me the shirt and felt like a great day to wear it. I believe in academic freedom. I think it's crucial for all of our institutions to be able to handle their own business the way they want to, and they should not be shaken down and told what to teach, what to say by our government. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, but it's kind of par for the course right now. So, yes, this is me supporting Harvard. Way to go. Way to stand up to the bully.
All right. Wow.
Yeah.
Again, that's Marquette Curry, Warriors coach Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones.
All right, sure. We have Dick up there.
Mm-hmm. He's waiting patiently. Dick, good morning. What do you got for us today?
Something that the president's selling. Have you heard about it?
Well.
Make your weight great again scale. It's cheap, cheesy-looking with the same gold plating as the Oval Office. And if you act now, we'll throw in a special Mr. Pillow free. You know, that old friend of mine, Mike Lindell, I'm trying to help him out.
So sorry for him.
I went from slightly over 6 feet tall and 231 down to 204 when I used this scale.
Yeah.
All this is a result of my last checkup. The doctor had one of my scales.
You think they're worried maybe about getting beheaded or something like that if they resist and actually, you know, tell people what he really weighed? It's hard to imagine.
Oh, my God.
I
guess a friend of mine listens to nothing but sports talk radio.
Yeah.
And he said they rarely get political. Early in the week when that came out, he said they were just nonstop but talking about that. I mean, 6'4", body fat of 4%.
It's like, no, it's unbelievable, right? It really is, truly.
Oh, he's a Greek god, no doubt about it. I get a hold of one of those scales. It helped for me.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, I think it just proves that a lot of those pictures, they're not doctored. They're not A1 pictures of him as a superhero or a Rambo-style warrior.
Oh, yeah. What did I hear Stephanie Miller say? The shadow of his ass weighs 20 pounds.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yes. All right, that is great stuff. All right,
thank you for that. Let's go to Mark. He's on the line this morning. 608-879-8255 is our number. Good morning, Mark.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, you were talking about Harvard earlier, and I brushed up my history a little bit last night. That's something I picked up from Sarah Vowell's book. Wardy's Shipmates is about the Puritans of New England. Apparently Harvard was actually established as an Orthodox Christian institution by people who thought were actually not really Orthodox Christian thinkers, but they separated from England and went there, and it was secularized, I guess, in the 19th century by the students themselves. But part of it was, you know, that the reason they founded it is to control thought. I mean, they didn't like the fact that people were thinking religiously on their own, which is ironic considering the fact that they were the whole separatist thing from the Church of England and from the Church of Rome, and, you know, not wanting to adhere to the orthodoxy of the time. And Trump apparently wants to reestablish some kind of political orthodoxy in this country where everybody knew their place. I mean, the women knew their place was in the kitchen and the bedroom and birthing babies and taking care of their man, who was the sole voice in the house that had any authority. And that it is just, it just is despicable that Trump is trying to do that stuff. I mean, that it is just, you know, controlling people's thought has no place in a democracy. And yes, we're a Democratic Republic, you know, that's for all the real megas out there. Yes, we are a Democratic Republic, and republics have representative government. And you guys don't like it? Well, maybe you should just all haul your asses over to Russia. Maybe that's what we should just fund a flight and send all 30, you know, however millions of them want to go to Russia, you go to Russia and kiss Putin's butt.
Yeah.
All right, Mark.
Yeah. Appreciate the comment. It's just an amazing stuff. And remember what I mentioned yesterday, too, the Trump executive order that he passed a while back allows him to, you know, declare this aliens.
The aliens and I've forgotten it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Aliens Act.
Yes, he put that in place so a little bit later he can declare it martial law,
right,
which is something that he can do on Easter Day.
That's what they're talking about, yes, which is this Sunday. Yeah.
And that means he can deport American citizens to El Salvador if they want.
Yes. 19 minutes past the hour, and we're going to get an update on weather with WMDX meteorologist Brittany Merlot coming up next on John and Gordy.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Oh, yeah, Freddie Cannon,
yes.
WMDX 92.7, woo. John and Gordy in the morning, and Sam's going to be leaving the state here in a few moments. What's the deal?
You're going down to Illinois?
I was wondering what the weather was going to be, and apparently it's got chances of storms tonight, but Brittany can explain that a little more later. The reason I'm heading down south is I've got one of my many wild, weird interests is old printing technology.
Yes.
And I'm going to pick up this, it's called a spirit duplicator. It's the kind of things that they used in schools back in the day before copiers.
Yes.
And like if you got a test or an assignment or
something. A mimeograph machine.
Fresh off the press, It would smell like this sweet purple ink on it.
It was nice. Yes. It was so nice.
Yes.
That's right. And John is really excited that I'm going to pick up this machine so he can huff all the chemicals.
Yes. Well, I remember it too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was in the nurse's office at the time and I didn't feel good. I was lying down and I saw that ink paper in the wastebasket.
Yeah.
I pulled it out and it smelled so good.
Yeah.
That I licked all the ink off that.
Did it taste good too?
Yes, it didn't. Well, it didn't taste bad because I licked the whole sheet clean.
Yeah.
And I tell you, the nurse was not too happy. And
did you get sicker or did it make you better?
I think the school was checking to see if they were ready for a lawsuit. Or
gosh.
Apparently had lead in it because that's why I am like I am
today.
Yeah,
that explains a lot. Hey, we got to get to Brittany Merlot here in just a moment. Yes. But first, let me remind everybody that this portion of John and Gordy in the Morning is brought to you by our friends at Verlo Mattress. Wake up and sleep better on a Verlo Mattress. Plenty has changed since 1958, but some things have remained the same throughout Verlo's history. They're still direct-to-consumer and provide superior products at unbeatable prices. Verlo Mattress, two locations in Madison, East and West. And go to Verlo.com for more information. Now it's time for WMDX Chief Meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Brittany. How are you?
Good morning.
Oh, all those things we did when we were in school.
The old days.
Did you get the mimeograph copies? Did you ever get those things where they just smelled wonderful? You know, when they passed them out in class.
She doesn't know. I think that's a little before her time.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know when they dropped out, when they stopped using that stuff. You know,
like in the 1970s.
We were just sniffing glue or something back in my day, I don't remember. Right.
Too many kids were licking the ink off
the sheets. Not give anybody any ideas.
I don't know. Okay.
I know. It's bad stuff.
I'm spreading grass seed all over my lawn today because because of your advice, it's going to start raining. So I'm depending on your weather forecast today to make sure that I'm doing everything right.
Yes.
Well, I think you are because, I mean, even last night, there was a major bird migration. 166 million birds were flying here to the Midwest. So I think that's a sign spring is really here.
Cool. Yes.
Really? Spread the grass seed, get ready for the nicer weather, all of that. So it's exciting.
Yeah, that's great.
Do birds like grass seed? Maybe they're going to attack your lawn.
They do love grass seed. Yes, they do. Yeah.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Sadly.
Maybe that's why they're coming.
Yeah.
You spread the grass seed.
Guess I said too much.
Way to go.
Maybe they caught some of those radio airwaves and they understand what we're saying. I don't know.
They probably do. Oh, goodness. All right. So you know what else is coming? Storms, too.
Oh, boy. Well, tell us about it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. So we've got a low pressure system targeting the state. First, it's going to bring us a warm front. Then it's going to smack us with a cold front. So we're going to have multiple rounds of showers and storms. And all of this is going to be starting this afternoon. So the clouds are already here. The temperatures are in those upper 30s. We are going to see the winds get a bit breezy, too, gusting around 30 miles per hour out of the south. So still a high fire danger in place this afternoon before the rain arrives. High temperatures will reach those low 60s, and then the scattered showers and storms, mainly starting after 2. Now, we're not looking at any of them to really be strong to severe, maybe just some gusty winds, light hail there. And then overnight, some of those could be on the stronger to maybe severe side of things. As they roll through the overnight hours, we could get some bigger hail and gustier winds. And of course, about a half an inch of rain is expected as all of these roll through. So it should wind down early Friday morning. We'll get a little bit of a break, and then we really spike in temperatures tomorrow afternoon. We're looking at low to mid 70s potentially.
Nice.
So
nice. Fine.
That
I love
kind of
it.
Heat.
All right. Yeah.
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 But okay. We still got the cold front that needs to move through.
Yeah.
So it may or may not spark up some more scattered showers Friday afternoon and into the evening. But that'll clear on out of here. Gives us a beautiful Saturday with highs in the upper 50s and still partly sunny into Sunday with the low 50s.
Excellent.
Now, we're not talking about anything that could go tornadic, are we? I mean, this is severe. I know last week was severe weather awareness week, but we're still kind of in the zone here for possible severe weather. Any of that happening in this mix? I mean, when we get to hail, when we talk about hail, I mean, that's kind of a heads up, right?
Exactly. It really is. And especially as we go into Friday, if we do really get that warm, we are going to be with that little risk of some tornadoes pushing through as well. I think it's going to stay more east of you.
Okay.
But of course, you're right on that line. So just keep a heads up and pay attention just in case. So again, that'll be Friday afternoon and into the evening for those strongest.
Okay.
Boy, I sure hope that I don't get sucked into a tornado with my car. Like, I get blown around just driving down the highway.
Are you going in the VW bug?
I am.
Oh,
yeah.
Good Lord.
Well, I don't have two cars down here.
Well, okay.
All right, well, we got to get to a call here. We have Jill on the line. So, Brittany, thank you for that weather forecast. I'm looking forward to spreading grass seed this afternoon.
Okay.
Let's just clear the way here. Let's go to Jill.
Have a good day, guys.
Thank you, Brittany. That's WMDX meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
I don't know if we got time for Joe right now. We got less than a minute and a half.
We got a minute and a half. Let's go to Joe.
Joe is right on top of it. She can tell us. Good morning, Joe.
Oh, sure. I'll be brief. First up, I would recommend a kitty litter in the back of your VW van as your car as you're heading down south. Just get a little extra weight back there.
Right.
I did want to say that you have this through line going through your discussion today, Dick's idea of the Trump scale that says exactly what you want it to say. I think that's going to be the first business success the guy ever had. I would love a scale that would say exactly what I want it to say. And that gets into this idea that Mark called about, which is the idea of political orthodoxy. So what Trump is saying to Harvard is, you will say what I want you to say.
Yeah.
And what gets great about it is this unwillingness to make any sense of maybe we have it wrong, maybe we don't have it completely right, like the dear A1 gal, you know?
Yep.
Couldn't admit I had it wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's good. All right, Joe.
Joe, thank you for that comment.
Yeah.
We appreciate that. 729, when we come back, we'll talk to Kara Ogburn from the Milwaukee Film Festival and give away a pair of tickets to one of those films. And also a little bit later on this hour, Judy Davidoff from Isthmus. All happening on John and Gordy in the Morning.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by noses. Yes, when wanting to stick something in other people's business, more people use their noses than any other part of their face. Noses, available wherever olfactory body parts are sold.
Well, we have a president like that now, micromanaging an entire country with his weird, wacky ideas.
Well, let's set aside politics for just a few minutes here.
No, I can't do that.
Come on, John.
All right, I'll try.
It's John and Gordy in the Morning, along with producer Sam. It's 7:35. Temperatures today will get into the 60s, but look for some rain developing. Actually, at the moment, downtown Madison, we have some sunshine breaking through the clouds. But again, highs in the 60s for today. Time for us to welcome in Kara Ogburn from the Milwaukee Film Festival. She's the artistic director there. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us here. We're also going to give away a pair of tickets. And in fact, right now, if you text us the word, the word is beer.
We couldn't think of a word, so I asked John, what do you think of when you think of Milwaukee?
Yes.
Because this is the Milwaukee Film Festival. And he said beer, so our word today is beer.
And we just found out from Kara that both of the theaters that are showing the movies, the Oriental and the Downer, serve beer.
They serve beer. That's
beer
fantastic.
Is the word. Get the Civic Media app, get it going, and you can text us the word beer, and we will select a winner for a pair of tickets to the film festival, your choice of the movies. Good morning, Kara. Again, we're glad to have you with us. Give us an overview of the film festival. First of all, it starts up next week, right? Goes from when?
We're 1 week away from opening night. The festival starts on the 24th with the film Sally, a documentary about Sally Ride made by a Milwaukee native filmmaker, Christina Costantini, and a block party that takes over that space at North and Farwell, around the Oriental. And then two straight weeks of movies at the Oriental and Downer, over 200 films.
Wow.
More films than you can possibly see.
Yes.
I challenge you.
Okay, we'll take that challenge. We're going to take off a couple of weeks, Gordy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you got to take off 2 weeks.
Yes. What the heck? All right. Well, let's talk about, I think this precedes the film festival, doesn't it? The retrospective for David Lynch at the Oriental Theater on Farwell. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
In addition to the film festival, Milwaukee Film operates the Oriental and Downer Theaters year-round. And, you know, upon learning of David Lynch's passing, we thought it appropriate to honor his legacy and show basically as many of his films as we possibly could. So we have two more coming. Mulholland Drive and Inland Empire will round out the series. Mm. Two, I would say, of his best, but I'm biased.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, it is going to feature Blue Velvet. And it's an old Bobby Vinton song, which I hated more than anything in my life because it was on all the time and it didn't fit in with the rock and roll I wanted to hear in Top 40 radio at the time. But it made me like Blue Velvet, actually. And the movie is really surreal in so many ways, a little brutal, a little violent. But it wasn't as bad as some of the other movies that I think. Oh, we had a cat walk by your screen there.
Yeah.
Watching you.
Constantly.
The tail. And then Wild at Heart, which was an interesting movie as well. But Twin Peaks, Fire Walk, everybody talks about that. It's one of those controversial films. You know, it's really good, I thought, in the beginning. But I didn't know what happened at the end, which is what... That was the impression I had with Twin Peaks, too. I didn't understand the ending to Twin Peaks, and I watched every season, so.
It's David Lynch for
you,
right?
Yeah, that's David Lynch.
Yeah.
That's David Lynch, exactly.
Yeah, it is. All right, now let's get into the actual film festival, because a lot of great films. Let's talk about some of the ones that deal with Wisconsin. What about there's a Brady Spree documentary? Brady Spree?
Yeah. So it's a new documentary. I believe that the public world premiere is at our festival. This is a film that comes out of UWM's Doc UWM program with Sean Kafer as the director of that program and of the film. And it tells the story about the history of Brady Street, kind of through its initial immigrant rises, its initial population surges, the kinds of industry that built up around Brady Street with tanneries, and then the changes that have undergone the neighborhood through different kind of moments of change. And we were talking a little about you being at some of those Brady Street festivals.
Oh, yeah.
You'll see that in the film, but also what's happening today on Brady Street, which continues to, of course, be like a vibrant through line for the city. A lot of history and cool shops always. I think there's always been cool stuff on Brady.
Oh, yeah. Well, definitely. No, it was quite the festival. A lot of strange people showed up for the Brady Street Festival. Does any of that go on today? Is that still kind of continued? Do they have the head shops?
That's much more normal and happens kind of all over, right?
Oh, right. So, yeah. Well, yeah, I guess it's
right.
True.
I mean, the weirdness has infused everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But Brady Street Festival, they're planning a couple of upcoming new festivals through their bid. I know that I've been seeing on my social media for the summer. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, great.
It's a good way to sort of think about streets. I'm sure Madison has similar kinds of streets that have always kind of had vibrancy and life.
State Street.
This is ours.
Oh, yeah, we're broadcasting right from one of those places,
exactly.
State Street. Kara, I wanted to ask you about the one about Wisconsin Dells. It's just called Dells, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, the film is called The Dells. When you're going to our program book or online, alphabetical, can't miss it. The mm-hmm. Dells. This is Nelly Kluze's documentary. It's a pretty verite style documentary that explores the world of the J-1 visa young people who come to work at the Dells and basically make the water park capital come alive and thrive in the summer for tourists and, you know, from around the state and around the country to have a good time. And it really explores kind of their life, which I think one doesn't get to see. What does it look like to come to the Wisconsin Dells in the Wisconsin, a state in the United States you may never have thought of living in Bulgaria or other places, and living there and working there and you know, experiencing a version of the American dream.
Well, actually, Gordy worked there for quite a while.
Having been in the Dells a number of years over my life, I know the J-1 students, they come to get jobs and to live there and work there, and they're housed there. And many times they don't speak the language sometimes, and there's some issues there. I know during the pandemic, some of them got stuck in the Dells, and their visas ran out. They couldn't go anywhere. They didn't have places to live. It was really quite an experience. I'm sure that's an interesting movie. I'd like to check it out myself.
Yeah, I wonder if you're in it, you know.
I don't think I'm in it, but I think they would have notified me. But
you would have known.
Perhaps, yeah. Well, give us another couple of your picks here.
There's kind of a new movie there. Death of a Unicorn is going to be featured, the Paul Rudd film. Kind of a fantasy.
Yeah, so Death of a Unicorn is actually showing now in the theater. It'll end when the festival starts because we take it over with even more new films, right? There's new films every day.
Oh, okay. All right.
And we want to remind our listeners, if you'd like to win a pair of tickets to one of the films at the festival, you can text us the word beer, okay? That's the easy word to remember, beer. You can get on the Civic Media app and text us there, or at 608-879-8255.
Yeah. What are some of the movies that you think people who might be interested in watching?
Absolutely. So we don't have a movie about beer this year, but we do have a movie about cocktails. It's called Bar, and it follows bartenders from around the country participating in the Bar 5 program, which is kind of a like training school certification for mixologists. Mm-hmm. If you love Top Chef, you'll love this. And you watch kind of the craft and the art, but also the science and the history of cocktails kind of come together in Bar. Playing mostly the first weekend of the festival, and the filmmaker will be in attendance from the Bay Area for that one. I also love to talk about the film. It's called Slice of Life, The American Dream in Former Pizza Huts. It's a film that's about Pizza Hut, Pizza Hut's rise, Pizza Hut's iconic architecture, and then businesses that have taken over former Pizza Huts to make a new kind of community, whether it's a marijuana shop in Colorado, a queer-friendly church in Florida. There's a karaoke bar. There's restaurants of all shapes and sizes. The filmmakers will also be here for that. They tell me, and it didn't make the film, but the most interesting former Pizza Hut in the Milwaukee area is a veterinary clinic.
Oh,
wow. Really? Okay.
Yeah, they did downsize, I believe, and became more of a drive-through or more of a delivery service than it is a restaurant. That's why they abandoned a lot of these buildings.
There's a, you know, corporate conglomerations, you know, higher-ups, changing efficiencies, you know, and of course, the pandemic changed a lot of things for a lot of businesses. So more kind of car and pickup culture. Except for at the historic theaters, we still hold on to the value of the communal, watching a horror movie and gasping with others, watching a comedy and laughing with others. These things remain pretty important to us.
Well, you know, what's really important is seeing these movies in these great theaters, the Downer Theater and the Oriental. I mean, these are really classic, fantastic theaters in Milwaukee. Could you fill us in on that?
You know, you know, as a nonprofit, it was important for us to kind of preserve history while also continuing to provide great movies every single day and modern amenities like beer at the movie theaters. best popcorn in town. We've got brewer's yeast, you know, really trying to make theater going. You remember what theater going used to be in the 1920s when the Oriental Theater opened. You know, people would get dressed up. This was your social activity for the week. Now, you might see more people in Uggs and sweatpants than gowns, but still a great way to escape your everyday life, see the life of someone else, travel the world. And the film festival does all that like for 2 weeks, jam-packed.
We're talking with Kara Ogborn from the Milwaukee Film Festival. A couple of music movies here that I wanted to find out a little bit more about. One about Janis Ian, called Breaking Silence, and then the other one, the John and Yoko movie, which was here at the Wisconsin Film Festival here in Madison last week or so. Can you mention a little bit about those movies, Kara?
Yeah. So if you're looking for music docs, our Sound Vision program is the place to go. Documentaries about, Janis Ian, John and Yoko. Usually the name of the musical artist is in the title of these ones, so it's a good clue.
Yeah.
Whoever you like, our programmer for that program, Abby, really looks for kind of a breadth of musical genres so that every music fan has something to find. The Janice Ian film is a really special one. Everyone saw A Complete Unknown over the holidays. Mm-hmm. And this takes you back to that same place and introduces you to some of the people who maybe didn't get to be played by Timothée Chalamet. And also to hear from the real folks. Joan Baez is featured. We showed a Joan Baez doc last year. She's here again to talk about the impact that Janice Ian had, who's a little less known. You know her voice, but you might not know her name. And here you can spend a little bit more time learning her story and learning about her impact.
Yeah, Janice Ian's Society's Child was a breakthrough song.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible. And Leonard Bernstein had it in a documentary form that he put out. It was about rock and roll music and how it was changing the way America thinks. It was part of a movement in America. It was a great documentary. I don't know if we can find that anymore. Maybe it's on YouTube someplace, but it was fantastic. And it featured a live version mm-hmm. of Society's Child and truly an amazing song at the time.
Yeah. Couple of more minutes here, Kara. Tell us, for folks who want to go to the festival, a little bit more about how they can get tickets and where they can go for more information.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, first you're supposed to text the word beer so that you can receive those two free tickets.
There you go.
If you don't get two free tickets, you can go to our website, mkefilm.org. Right on the homepage, click right in. You look for the birds. It's spring. The birds are coming. The grass is getting spread. We're going to try and take them to the movie theater so they don't eat your grass seed there. But click in through there. Explore the films. Tickets are on sale now. They went on sale to the public. Individual tickets yesterday. And if you're watching 2 weeks of movies, we still do have passes, all access passes on sale for you.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And again, the film or the website is mkefilm.org. Correct, Kara?
Yep, correct. Good job.
Very
good.
All right.
Very good.
Well, thank you.
We appreciate you being with us.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Very good. That's Kara Ogburn from Milwaukee Film Festival.
Yeah.
Sam, did we pick a winner yet?
We did. Let me get her name back here. Okay. Monica in Mount Horeb is getting the tickets today.
All right.
Congrats to Monica.
Very good. We will be back to wrap things up on John and Gordy in the Morning right here at WMDX. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Okay.
WMDX 92.7. It's John and Gordon in the Morning, broadcasting from the capital city, Madison, overlooking State Street.
It is 7:52, beautiful sunshine peeking through some of the early morning clouds. We might get some rain later and highs in the 60s. This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by our friends at Verlo Mattress. Wake up and sleep better on a Verlo mattress. A lot has changed since 1958, but some things have remained constant through Verlo's history. They're still direct-to-consumer and provide superior products at unbeatable prices. Verlo Mattress, two Madison locations, east and west, and go to verlo.com for more information.
All right, let's talk to the president and editor of the Isthmus. Judy Davidoff is with us this morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Judy.
I'm good.
Great.
Good morning to you.
I was watching Rachel Maddow last night, and she talked about the protests going on across the nation, colleges getting together, and they're trying to fight the Trump administration. And they had a little screen capture that they featured on Maddow's show, and it had Isthmus, and it had the announcement that there's going to be a protest at the Library Mall. And I looked on your site, I couldn't find it. I don't know how they got that, but it was
probably the calendar listing.
Oh, that's probably it. Yeah.
It was kind of interesting, but it was. But they featured it right there on national television.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
Just thought I'd let you know.
Yep.
Yeah, and Judy.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And one of the things that jumped out at me at the current issue of Isthmus is, of course, the photograph right on the front page there Great yeah. picture of a dog with a looking at his reflection. It's just a, one of those pictures that really jumps
yeah.
out at you.
Yeah.
Who took
yeah,
that
photo?
Well,
that's Clinton Fowler. And if you, he's a local photographer.
Yes.
Who really, and it's for him really kind of a side gig. He considers it a hobby. But he goes out most mornings and I think early evenings too. You would see him around the Arboretum, Lake Wingra, mm-hmm. and he's a wonderful photographer. He has a large following on Instagram, mm-hmm. so we were really happy that we got one of the photos from him.
Ken Fowler, okay.
Kenton, yeah,
Kenton.
Kenton Fowler.
Kenton, sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so, I always, you know, when I open up the issue, I always go to your opinion page because you really have some good topics on here. And you're also kind of focusing on the American distrust of media.
Right.
And we know, of course, that, you know, this is a Trump thing. This is a MAGA thing. They have beat this to death since 2016 at
yeah.
least.
Fake news.
Yes. Trying to portray the media as fake. And their stuff that's now taking off, and people are watching that now just to see and compare, but not really, you know, it's more or less propaganda at this point. But what is your feeling of what you're saying in the editorial?
Well, you know, I mean, of course I feel that it's all, that it's very unfortunate. I mean, it's not like media makes no errors, and it's not like, you know, there can't be improvement in many ways. But at least through polling, it shows that there is this general mistrust. When people talk about the media, they're usually talking about the national media.
Yes.
What I write about is that, you know, at least the good news for those of us in local news is that when you ask specifically about your local news organization, the trust really does go way up. People do. You know, believe in the quality of what they're reading, and there's a connection. And in particular, people who are connected to their community are connected to their local news outlets, which I thought was pretty interesting, too.
It's encouraging, yes. Yeah.
Well, that is encouraging.
And talk about, Judy, talk about these community newsrooms, the series.
Yeah. Well, you know, along just kind of developing that idea of the trust factor more, you know, we're all always trying to figure out how to better reach our readers, our supporters, provide the news that they want, provide the content they want. And how do you do that? You know, you can do some surveys, but we also just thought that at least, and especially in this moment, you know, this moment of extreme change, disruption, concern, anxiety, stress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's meet with the people who, you know, are connected with Isthmus or, you know, could be more connected with Isthmus and see what's on their minds, you know, just almost in general, but also what they would like to see covered, you know, what their concerns are, mm-hmm. and just mm-hmm. get out in the community a little bit more.
Yeah.
Judy also.
So we organized this meeting and it was at Goodman Library. Mm-hmm. It was evening and we had just great discussions about everything. It was really kind of a roundtable.
Are you going to do more of those?
We are. We're planning. We're hoping the next one's going to be in June. We're thinking since this is on the south side, we might go east. Mm-hmm. Probably looking at another library. And, yeah, we just talked about it actually at our board meeting last night and hope to get that organizing in place so we can tell people about it soon.
Yeah.
We just got a minute or so left. One thing I wanted to point out, you have the essay on the back page there, Life in Transit is the title of it, and it's
yes.
by Dan Kane. I thought this was a great essay by him and really a life-changing experience that he explains. Can you mention a little bit more about that or talk about
yes
that?
Yeah. Yes. So actually Dan is on our board.
Yeah.
That's how I met him, and in fact I asked a little bit more about his writing last night, and he said he's been driving an Uber off and on I believe for about 10 years since he came back from Miami. He is not much of a sleeper.
Right.
And so
it's a great essay. Yeah.
He does a couple of hours of writing a night, and then he goes out and drives, and he just really loves the interaction with people.
That's Judy, thank you so much. Yeah, that's great. Sorry, we've got to move on here, but thank you for being with us. Stephanie Miller's next.
Thank you so much. Right. Bye-bye.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.